Well, welcome to all of you, and I particularly want to thank Senator Craig for joining me today. I told him this morning I was going to do a press conference, and he graciously agreed that he would like to be here for this as well. Caring for veterans who have sacrificed for our freedom is really the duty of a grateful nation. These brave men and women have made a solemn promise to protect our country, and our reciprocal promise is to take care of them when they return home from our missions. That is why I find today's admission by the VA that they will need over $1 billion more in emergency funding just to get through this year and next year is appalling but not surprising. Unfortunately, this administration has been unwilling so far to make the sacrifices necessary to fulfill the promises that we all made to our veterans. Throughout the budget and the supplemental appropriations process, I fought to increase funding to care for our veterans, nation's veterans. And I used my position on the Budget Committee, on the Appropriations Committee, and on the Veterans Affairs Committee to get adequate funding for our veterans. I introduced an amendment to the supplemental bill, as you will all remember, to provide for our troops by assuring access to quality health care services and benefits for them when they return home. I took these measures because I have long believed that caring for our veterans is a fundamental cost of war. Unfortunately, each time my efforts failed. Secretary Nicholson and others fought my amendment claiming that the funding was not needed. On April 5th, Chairman Hutchinson received a letter from the Secretary that said, "I can assure you that the VA does not need emergency supplemental funds in fiscal year 2005 to continue to provide timely, quality service that is always our goal." Even 2 weeks ago, under direct questioning, Secretary Nicholson did not indicate a need for emergency fiscal year 2005 funding for the VA. Now, less than 3 months later, the Secretary is saying that we are over $1 billion short in VA funding. When I was fighting to get my Veterans Health Care Amendment passed just a few months ago, I warned my colleagues that what was an emergency would become a crisis if we did not work together to address this problem. With VA's announcement today, that emergency has indeed become a crisis. I very much regret that it has come to this, but now is the time to work together and provide the needed dollars so that our veterans have the quality, accessible care that they need and they deserve. I will work with anyone and everyone to keep this commitment to our veterans and our current servicemen and women. Taking care of our veterans is a fundamental cost of war, and this is a problem we cannot postpone or sweep under the rug. The bottom line is that too many of our veterans are going without the care they need, that they deserve, and that they have earned as part of their service. With new veterans returning from Iraq and Afghanistan every day, this problem only promises to get worse. When adjusted for inflation, the VA is spending 25% less per patient today than it did in fiscal year 2000. This is having a huge impact on patients and on VA healthcare personnel. Veterans are having to wait 3 years for surgery. In my home state of Washington at the VA American Lake facility, you can only get an appointment if you're 50% or more service-connected or disabled. In the Puget Sound, as of January, there was an $11 million deficit, forcing the VA hospitals to leave vacant positions unfilled. Every indication is that we simply do not have enough funding for our current service, and the VA seems unable to handle the increased number of veterans who are returning now from Iraq and Afghanistan. This is not right, and it's not what our veterans were promised. That's why today I introduced legislation to provide emergency supplemental funding for the VA. It is identical to the amendment that I offered during the supplemental in April to provide $1.98 billion to fully fund our veterans' health care needs. That amendment was rejected 3 times, twice in committee and once on the floor, but I am confident that my colleagues will now see their way clear to support this critical funding in light of today's highly disappointing and saddening announcement from the VA. I want to urge also to have the administration submit a supplemental request and fulfill their promise to our nation's veterans. Caring for our veterans is not a Republican or a Democratic issue. It is an American issue. And as we head into the 4th of July recess, I want to call on Congress and the administration to work with me to do the most patriotic thing we can, and that is fulfill our promise to care for Americans' veterans. Before I close, I want to say that I intend to work with my colleagues to get to the bottom of this issue. I don't know how we got into this situation of such an enormous shortfall in VA funding, but I intend to find out. This shortfall either results from deliberate misdirection or gross incompetence by this administration in the Department of Veterans Affairs. Just 2 months ago, they vehemently argued against the need for money, raising loud, consistent objections to our efforts on the budget and the supplemental. 2 months later, we're over $1 billion short. That is outrageous. These are questions that we must and we will deal with. I want to thank Senator Craig for being here with me today. When I offered my amendment on the supplemental, he said to me that if what they found out changed, that he would be there to work with me. And I really want to commend him for his words, for his work for our veterans, and for his being here with us today. Thank you, Senator Craig.
Patty, let me thank you very much. Let me bring you up to date on where we believe we are, and the chairman of the House is also with us, who held hearings this morning. A week ago, my staff and House staff began to determine in working with the veterans budget people that there was a problem, a substantial problem. Those details became more evident to me yesterday, and I informed Senator Murray, Senator Akaka, the chairman of the VA Appropriations Subcommittee here in the Senate, along with the chairman of the Full Appropriations Committee. This morning, I had a lengthy visit with Secretary Nicholson as to the extent of the problem and how best we solve it working with the administration. While I am still collecting details as it relates to the problem, here is what I believe is the case at this moment. VA had assumed an increase based on their actuarial projections. Yes, please turn your phones off. Based on their projections in the budget process, which they advance 18 months in front of a new budget, working with a hospital professional actuarial, a large one here in this country, they believe there needs to be in the 2.3% range increase. They now find that those increases are not 2.3%. They are at least 5 and maybe 5.2 or beyond that. As a result of that, there is a substantial shortfall. In the 05 budget, they have moved substantial dollars around to meet those commitments, and we're talking to them now about additional monies for 05 if necessary. Clearly, it appears in 06, in the budget we're currently working on, there is a substantial shortfall, $1 billion plus or somewhere near that. We don't know the exact figures on yet, but we will work with them to find them. I expect the administration and the secretary to be forthcoming with clear and decisive answers for the appropriate committees to respond to that. We're very much into the budget cycle now for 06. We will step back from the MILCON VA appropriations, the subcommittee recommendation, until we understand this issue. I have asked the VA to be before me this coming week with very clear and definitive answers. This is something that we will not move forward on until we have an answer to this problem. I think Senator Murray speaks well when she talks about the commitment we have to our veterans for ongoing services. They will be served, and this country and this government will serve them. There is simply no question amongst any of us who have gathered here today that that will not be the case. I had told Senator Murray as she spoke that while I was opposing her earlier on the floor, if additional information came in that in any way began to explain or justify additional funding, that we would stand side by side and work through this issue. And that we will do. I, at this time, am not willing to endorse a supplemental. I want to see all of the figures and facts. The consequence of the current money that has been moved around inside the VA budget to accommodate current needs and what is now being projected as a shortfall in the 06 presentation that came up from the administration. So we'll move ahead aggressively. We'll hold the hearing next week. We have tight timelines, and I expect the administration to be open and forthcoming with recommendation to meet these needs. There will be no shortcuts, and there will be no diminishment of service to our veterans. I think that the Congress is committed to that in a bipartisan way, as we always have been, and we will make sure that happens. We'll work our way through this, but in doing so, we've got to have the right information. We cannot base any judgment on assumptions, so we've got to be as accurate as we can be. In most actuarials, they are within 1% or somewhere near that. This one obviously has had a significantly dramatic shortfall. The character of veterans versus other health care needs in our country are different. Dominantly men, dominantly aging at this moment in most instances, and now, of course, we have an influx of veterans coming out of the Iraq-Afghanistan wars, and those are having some impact on this. We don't know for sure exactly what that impact is at this moment. But Patty, again, thank you very much. We will stand in a very bipartisan way to resolve this issue. It's going to be important that our veterans be served.
Thank you, Chairman Craig. We've also been joined by Senator Kaka, the ranking member on the VA subcommittee, and I want to call on him first.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Senator Murray, and I thank you for your lead on this issue. And I thank all of you for joining us here today to discuss the drastic funding shortfall of the Department of Veterans Affairs and what it's facing. I'm proud to stand alongside my colleagues from both sides of the aisle to bring attention to this important issue. I support Chairman Craig and his request this morning to Secretary Nicholson that we be provided with a truly accurate account of just how much of a shortfall we're dealing with here. And I stand beside him, and we all do too. We raised this issue earlier this year on the Senate floor. Senator Murray, myself, and others, and VA officials declined to admit that the department was in trouble. During our debate on the shortfall back in April, we drew attention to the impact that the men and women returning from Iraq and Afghanistan could have on the VA system. This is an influx of patients that VA simply cannot easily absorb in addition to its current patient load. But now that we have confirmation that there truly is a problem, we can get to work on it, and I'm committed to working with my colleagues to ensure that veterans and returning service members get the health care they deserve. This situation is very, very alarming, as VA has already been forced to tap into emergency funds for next year, as well as vital construction funds that could have been used to upgrade and repair VA hospitals. We need to act swiftly to ensure that quality of care is not jeopardized for our nation's veterans. We know the challenges now, and we will stand together to meet the needs that we face. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Senator Kaka. Some of the House members have asked if they could come over and join us today. We are here with the chairman of the House committee. I would invite him to say a few words on behalf of his members from the House.
Thanks. Well, I'm pleased to be here. Dealing with these budgets can be challenging. I remember even when Senator Rockefeller chaired here on the Senate side. And what I have learned, and the purpose we had a hearing on the House side, is that in this town, everybody throws budget numbers around. A budget number for the independent budget, a budget number advocated by the American Legion, a budget number advocated by VA. Oh, what was the OMB number? What came over in the president's budget? What one conference or caucus thinks a budget number ought to be? So I took some lessons learned. When I chaired the Personnel Subcommittee on the House, I had responsibility over the military health delivery system at a period where we went through the BRACs in the 1990s. And we had a ghost population of an ebb and flow. And every year we kept having to come back and do a supplemental for the increases of those defense health budgets. Well, I was feeling pretty uncomfortable. I appreciate the leadership of Larry Craig also feeling uncomfortable. Because what's happened here is in the model that we use with regard to predicting, it's only as good as the assumptions and the data that is used on the input. Now, when you create a health model, in the private sector, what they do is they utilize it for 1 year out. Guess what? The VA uses it 2.5 to 3 years out, and so does DOD. So when we did our emergency supplemental on DOD, we had to plus up the military health delivery system by $680 million. Why? Because we have contingencies that are operated outside the model. So does the VA. And that's what we've learned today in our hearing. And the administration was very cooperative. They were very open, I want you to know, in our hearing to discuss the challenge that they have here today. I also appreciate Chairman Craig now saying, Steve, I want to do a follow-up off of what you've just done, and we're going to drill this down. Because what they're advocating is now to take $600 million out of some capital accounts with regard to their present-day challenges created by OEF, the OIF. We also learned that there's a dental piece. When we opened up the VA for access for guardsmen and reservists to come back with regard to their dental care, I assure you, those of us who have been in a combat zone recognize that a lot of our soldiers don't take care of their teeth the way they should, especially if they're there for over a year. So what's happening is they're anxious to get home to their families. So they're saying, well, go ahead and discharge you, just go to the VA. Well, the VA is having to pick that up, and the costs are approaching $3,100 per patient. So there are some things outside the model that I want you to know. The last is we also have had a surge in the utilization on Category 7s and 8s, and there are some staffing issues. So what's a wonderful opportunity here is the House and Senate, we don't always work as well together, but this is a wonderful opportunity on a bipartisan basis that we recognize the administration have now proposing what they call workaround solutions. There's approximately Congress, we, House and Senate, authorized DOD a cushion with regard to their health accounts around $380 million to $400 million per year as a cushion. VA, the same thing. But VA now says, with regard to their $400 million cushion, they're going to have to tap it. So as they tap into their cushion and they then defer capital accounts, that's where Ms. Murray gets her number of approximately $1
billion. So well, the administration has the number.
I can tell you what they just testified to us. And so they have their, quote, workaround solutions. And that's why I'm really pleased that when you hold this hearing, you can drill down to make sure that even though they propose workaround solutions, that they maintain that not only the access, but the quality of care for which all of us expect. And I think that's what's extremely important. Now, the House, we passed on our appropriations a plus up of $1 billion on health over and above the President's mark. Now, what's interesting here is how we need to work cooperatively with regard to what number you're going to utilize here in the Senate to make sure that we get the 06 budget correct. And that's why I'm really pleased to be here with my Senate colleagues in a bipartisan basis to make sure that we get this right so we can maintain our commitment to our nation's veterans.
I am joined by a number of Democratic members of the Senate, too. We have worked very hard for a number of months now to put on the table the fact that we felt very strongly that the VA was not being funded adequately, and I'm delighted that a number of them have joined with me. Senator Jay Rockefeller, I'm going to call on you, and Senator Durbin, our assistant whip, and then Senator Ken Salazar.
Thank you, Patty. Thank you, Larry Craig, and thank you, Pete. My message is a little bit different. The VA has always been, and healthcare has always been, specifically underfunded by administrations, but never underfunded so dramatically as in a time like this when we have, I'll be meeting tomorrow with Iraqi veterans, men and women who've returned from the field of battle. What they want to count on is healthcare, and that, as Patty Murray said, is what we owe them. I think we can spend all the time we want in trying to break down the categories of what is available for 06 and what's available for 05 and 07 and all the rest of it. But there's one simple truth that I learned. I went on the Veterans Committee in 1985 and I was chairman for a while.
And we ran into this kind of problem with a different, with sort of research problem. We have to understand that Jim Nicholson doesn't set this. He doesn't have any authority on this. Neither does the medical director. This is an OMB decision. And the only way, and I did this back in the 80s, Vice President Gore was the vice president, and I knew the only way I could get OMB to change their figures was to go either to the president or to the vice president, because that's the only way they'll get changed. Only OMB, not Nicholson. He's irrelevant to the process, unfortunately. And I'm sure nobody's more pained about it than he is, because I know him and he's a fine person. So I got on the phone with Al Gore, and we fought it out. He backed off, and we got the increase. Now that's what's going to have to happen. That's what's going to have to happen. Except as we do it on the floor, which I will join you in. But that's exactly what's going to happen. You always stand the chance of a veto if we do it on the floor. I can't imagine a president vetoing a bill of this sort. But on the other hand, I can't imagine somebody so recently saying there's no problem, we can just adjust this, we can accomplish it, we can do efficiencies here and there, and it'll all work out. That's what they always say, and it never happens. So the only route is for somebody to call up the president or the vice president and say, you have to make this a priority. You have to instruct the OMB to raise the amount available to veterans health care by $1 billion. And your amount that you submitted was substantially higher than that. So that's the realities of the politics of this situation. This is not a matter of feeling good about veterans. You know, we talk about when people say things about the war in Iraq that aren't going so well, and then people say, oh, well, that's unpatriotic. You're not for your country. You're not for the soldiers. You want to find a way not to be for the soldiers. That's to bring them home. And you want to find a way to give comfort to the enemy who can find out about this. You bring those soldiers home, and then don't make available the health care which they will desperately need, which they're counting on, which they're assuming, and which under the present budget, many of them will not get.
I want to thank Senator Murray and Senator Craig and my colleagues who joined me from the House and the Senate in April when Senator Murray offered this amendment on the floor to increase by almost $2 billion spending for the Veterans Administration. We supported her. We believe that she was sensitive to a serious problem that we were facing. We were assured by the Veterans Administration the money was not necessary. The money would be there, that the veterans didn't have to worry. Here we are some 8 or 9 weeks later being told that's not the case, that the Veterans Administration is underfunded. And it is not a surprise. 25% of our soldiers serving in Iraq and Afghanistan come home to the VA medical system looking for services and for help. Those soldiers who are serving in Iraq and Afghanistan, according to studies from the New England Journal of Medicine, one out of six of them are going to deal with serious problems like post-traumatic stress disorder. We have a GAO report that says the VA clinics and hospitals are not prepared to deal with that even now. So as we send our best and bravest young men and women to fight in Iraq and Afghanistan, as they return, some with physical scars and some with mental issues that they have to deal with, the VA has to be ready to be there. I would just say that this budget process, I'll agree with those who have said it before, there's always a debate back and forth. Who's right? Who's wrong? What's the proper dollar amount? But the admission today by the Veterans Administration makes it clear that we were right when the Murray Amendment was offered. The VA needed more money, and it still does. The last word I'll say is this. Before Congress goes home to march in 4th of July parades, we ought to march into the House and the Senate and pass this supplemental appropriation bill for our veterans. We have no right to wave the flag back home unless we've done our duty here for veterans by making certain they have the funds they need.
Yeah, I'm proud to join in this bipartisan statement of a statement of support for our veterans and the need for the additional money that we need to support our veterans. To me, it is amazing that we get letters like this one from the Veterans Administration just a few weeks ago saying that they have all the money that they need and that they don't have a problem. And then only a few weeks later, we get communications from the VA that says we have a $1 billion shortfall, and it's not next year, it's this year, it's in this fiscal year. It's going to have dramatic consequences on our ability to serve our veterans in this nation. And I am very hopeful that President Bush, as the leader of our country, walks the talk here, and that he comes over here to both the House and to the Senate, and he says, we need to have this emergency supplemental. We need these additional $1 billion or whatever the amount is that we need as we drill down into these hearings, and we have to do it before the 4th of July. I think that is his duty. I think that is our duty, and I'm very proud to be a co-sponsor of the emergency supplemental legislation.
Congressman Brown has also joined us, and I invite him to say a few words.
Thank you very much, Senator, and it's absolutely a great pleasure to be here today to be part of this discussion. I know we had a public hearing today to try to find a resolve to the problem, but nevertheless, whether we're dealing with numbers or whatever the situation might be, as chairman of the Health Committee, I'm absolutely committed to quality health care for our veterans, and whatever the resolve is going to be, that's going to be the foremost concern of mine. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Congressman. With that, we'll open it up for questions. Yes.
Senator Craig, could you characterize
I felt initially, as we got to the budget process, that while we had differences in approaches toward funding, we were dealing with accurate figures. I was led to believe that. I think the Secretary in his testimony before us at that moment in time believed that. These numbers began to shape in mid-May, we're told. And we began, we found out about it a few weeks ago, and Secretary this morning in our conversation, I think, was as frustrated in his expressions to me as I was to him. And that's why we will get to the basis of this, and I ask him to be before us on the Hill to come with clear answers and a proposed solution.
Do you feel you're blindsided?
Let me put it this way. We believed our numbers were accurate at the time, but I also am a little experienced here in the sense that Jay Rockefeller reflected it, these numbers are always very difficult to pin down, and we're dealing with different circumstances. We also did not feel, or I did not feel, we were getting reasonably accurate numbers about men and women coming into the system from Iraq and Afghanistan, and that's a factor here, I do believe. It would not be appropriate to suggest I was blindsided. I thought our numbers were accurate with some flexibility. We plussed it up because of our recognition of need and numbers. Now we're going to look at another set of numbers under the admissions that the Veterans Administration has just made. We also want to see the impact of the movement of monies in the 05 budget, which I think is also significant as it relates to capital expenditure and what it means to defer if that is going on, because sizable amounts of money have been moved around to meet current needs.
Sir, there's no boogeyman here. I mean, the administration was very, very upfront, and they do a mid-year review. And so based on whatever correspondence they've been having with members and stuff, they're holding on to a particular data that they use for the year. Then when did their mid-year review, now they recognize they have challenges and they're coming up with these workaround solutions.
Well, I let me just add that when I offered the amendment for additional $2 billion in supplemental, it was very clear to me from talking to the VISNs around the country, looking at the critical shortfalls, they were telling us, outside of what the administration was telling us, that we had a problem. And any one of us who have Guard and Reserve members who are coming home from Iraq and Afghanistan, who are talking to our service organizations as reintegration occurs, it was very clear we were going to have a higher number of soldiers needing veterans services than anyone would have predicted 3 years ago, and that we needed to account for that. That is exactly why I offered the amendment 2 months ago.
Dr. Perlin testified this morning that the numbers were on target through the beginning of this year, but that something changed in April. Any of you all heard what?
Well, that was the mid-year review. Mm-hmm. They came up with their mid-year review, then they realized they've got these shortfalls, and then he has to go into the cushion, that $400 million, right, that he said he testified that he'd utilize $380 million, which takes it pretty tight now with regard to year-end.
Well.
And then the other is the $600 million from the capital accounts. What I'm most hopeful to hear, I'm going to yield to my Senate colleagues, is that when you do your hearing coming up, you can drill down to this question about when you defer capital acquisition, what impact does that have on the business and your hospitals?
Well, let me say that I really commend Senator Craig and others for having a hearing next week, because we do need to look at what those numbers are. Senator Craig has assured me that he is going to drill down and find out what those numbers are. I share the concern that $600 million of construction being shifted is not going to happen if contracts have already been laid out to people already signed and the work is in progress. You can't just undo contracts. So I think a lot of work has to happen. That is an unauthorizing committee's jurisdiction. But at this point, this is an appropriations committee jurisdiction as well. We need to figure out how to deal with a $1 billion shortfall. Again, that is why I have again said we need an emergency supplemental, and I do call on the administration to come forward with a supplemental request as quickly as possible, because the sooner this money is available and it's out there, the easier it will be for us to deal with the longer term 06 problem which is coming at us. And I know Senator Craig is looking at what he wants to do. I commend him for waiting to see what the numbers are, but I personally really believe that we need to move forward with an emergency supplemental as quickly as possible to deal with this $1 billion shortfall.
What do the Republican chairs say to your proposal?
I think Senator Craig will speak for himself, but he has said to me today personally and here today that he is going to have his hearing next week and look at the numbers and will.
I'll answer on the House. The House, we are not going to be alarmists on this. I would not endorse this proposal on an emergency supplemental into 05. The testimony we received is that they have workaround solutions with regard to this challenge that they have. I'm most hopeful that as Senator Craig begins to drill down these numbers and assess access and quality, we'll be sensitive to that. But what we have to be cognizant of is what is the proper 06 number.
Yeah. Okay.